Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Welcome to the show. We are almost to video. We're still audio with a brand new board. We've got the whole studio here today and quite busy, actually. So behind the scenes. Yes, we're all learning things. And engineer walking around. Producer Mark is here, too. Say hi, Mark. Yes, you hear his wonderful voice on this show, too, for Leading Edge Medicine. So lots of changes on our end, and you'll be able to see it. So that'll be kind of excited.
About and 3 weeks, it looks like.
Yes, we're getting closer.
Maybe four.
Yay. We'll see. All right. Well, here is that number to get through today, 206-421-5757, with your calls about your whatever situation you're dealing with, maybe a diagnosis, maybe some symptoms, maybe you've been put on new medication, you're not really sure why, and the doctors didn't really explain it to you, maybe just old age, because of that, of course, is what Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, we are talking about those undesirable changes in aging as we are aging. That's what the show is all about. Leading Edge Medicine, your questions are welcome. 206-421-5757. And Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Lynette.
Yes, welcome. What a day, huh? Another hot, warm, sunny weekend.
Well, and inside the studio, we don't have to wear our headphones anymore. It is different. And I came in and automatically took off my earrings because I can never wear them with the headphones. And I realized, I don't have to do that anymore.
Right. Now you can decorate your ears as much as you'd like to.
Yes.
That's right. I'm the only one with the headphone hair going on. That's okay. And the producer,
You've got the 1970s big hair anyway.
So it's all the rage now. Yeah, it's back. Yeah.
I don't think that hair ever went out of fashion. Every generation has been jealous of hair like Lynette. Lynette has gorgeous hair.
Aww. Thank you, guys.
Do you guys know why men like women with long hair?
Do tell.
It's not a fashion statement, and it's not it's a learned response. There are pheromones that females of the species excrete into the atmosphere to warn males that they are fertile. It's to attract male attention. And it turns out the hair is a very active disperser. You release pheromones through those scalp glands that kick out the oils and stuff. And young women, of course, have a lot of oil, a lot of moisture in their hair. That's why it's glossy. Okay. But they are dispersing those pheromones into the atmosphere to attract a mate. And we men smell it. We don't know we're smelling it. It's not a conscious thing. But big, long hair is more efficient at distributing the pheromones into the atmosphere. And so men are attracted to women with long hair, whether they know it or not.
Okay, well, Dr. Mixon, I'm not trying to disperse any pheromones here.
But you did attract that handsome Italian husband of yours.
Yes, I did.
And your big hair had something to do with that.
He told me, yes, big eyes and big hair. So
that's right.
Oh, my God, Jerry.
If a guy sees two women, and even if the plainer of the two has long, pretty hair, the guys will be attracted to the plainer woman with the long hair. And he won't be able to explain why, because the girl with the short hair might actually be cuter. But the guy will be attracted to the long hair. And it's, again, it's the pheromone distribution.
Okay.
We just learned that in our adolescence when the, you know, when Sally with the long hair goes walking down the street and every boy on the hallway turns in her direction.
Uh-huh. Okay. There you go. And Mark, our producer, is going, yep, yep, yep. His wife has gorgeous, long, silky hair.
That's right.
Yes, she does. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, we're not just talking about hair. We're talking about all of the things.
Well, again, we're talking hormones.
We're talking hormones. And already, believe it or not, the phones are already starting ringing. Do you want to start the show with some phone calls?
Let's start the show with a phone call. Why not?
Okay. Let's go. And let's see here. We have Tim on the line as our first caller from gorgeous Gig Harbor today.
Ooh, I love Gig Harbor.
Oh, yes, we do. Hello.
Especially ice cream down along the harbor front.
Oh, yes.
That's what I always know.
They got a new store they're putting in. Also, they're adding the store. But thank you very much. I hope everybody's doing well.
We are.
Okay, good. I got a question. I take testosterone, 100 milligrams Versa. And I, every quarter, I do my own I go and get my blood work done.
Uh-huh.
And my testosterone level is 358, and I'm 73 years old. Should I get that up a little bit more?
Is that your total testosterone?
Yes.
Okay.
358.
358 for a total testosterone is pretty puny.
Okay. Jerry, it may be fine for him. We don't know his sex hormone binding globulin level, and he is in his 70s.
And that's why I'm in my 70s. And
Well, remember, it's a personalized program. What's good for you may not be the best for him.
But let's face it, you know, we're shooting for a free testosterone of 150 to 180, and that runs 1 or 2% of the total. So if he's running a total testosterone of 350... You know, he's running a free testosterone of 35 to 70, really not enough on anybody's category. So, yeah, you need to chat with a doctor who's managing your hormones and let him do some evaluating here, because I can tell you right now, we would never accept that in our clinic.
And, you know, there are other factors as well that play a role here, DHEA and other supplements that he may or may not be on. How does he respond to it? What happens when we go higher? There's a whole bunch of things, and the absolute number in and of itself is just that. It's just a number.
It is. But, you know.
Right. It says testosterone-free and total testosterone. But then I was reading that my age and older, you have to be careful, this is an opinion, not to have too much testosterone.
Well, we don't want too much, but...
Right,
yeah. But
358 is low.
In our clinic, generally, our philosophy, all else being equal, is to carry a man in the mid-range of a healthy 25-year-old, okay? And that is significantly higher than you're running. Now, obviously, if you've got something else special going on, if you have a spouse who is not able to have intercourse, and so we don't want your libido to come up, this might be a so-so acceptable level. It depends in part on what's happening with you. What is your exercise tolerance? You know, how far, how fast can you walk and or run? How much are you lifting? How many push-ups are you doing? You know.
Right, right. All right, well, I'll talk to my guy, my doctor. I see him next week. And do I have time for one more question?
You know, I'll say one more thing. If your levels fall within the normal range, they're not going to want to do anything, because normal for them is fine. But as we've talked about many times on our show, normal is a bell-shaped curve, and we're looking for physiological function. And we do individualize it. So a lot will depend upon your personal history, your personal scenario, and where you perform best function.
The other question is he just addressing your testosterone?
I will talk to him about that.
Because he should be looking at your your pregnenolone, your progesterone, your estradiol, your dehydroepiandrosterone, your IGF-1, your thyroid function, and your testosterone. And if he's not addressing right. all of those, you're getting inadequate care.
Okay. I'll talk, because, see, I do this myself, because I go into walk-in lab. So,
oh, my goodness.
You know, right, I'd well, have to specify.
Yeah. You got I'll a lot talk, of learning to enough, do if you want to do it yourself, my friend, because so far you're not doing a great job.
Well, I should have stuck with being a plumber. Now, I got one more yeah. question. Do I have
or
time?
Or better yet, you might want to come into Longevity Medical Clinic and let the pros do it for you.
That's probably a good idea. Do I have time for one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. My cholesterol total is 207. My triglycerides are 61. HDL cholesterol is 71. My VLDL is 11. LDL whole NIH is 125. Do you think I'll make it 20 years?
I'd have a better idea if you had fractionations of those. You want to address that for him?
Sure. So the total values where they are useful do not give us the complete picture, just like we talked about in the testosterone panel. What you really want to know is what are the fractions of LDL and particle sizes. So you want to know LDLP and want to know LDL size. And there are tests, companies that run these tests all day long. They are easily done. And then you want somebody to sit down with you and talk about that. In our clinic, we've customized Cleveland Lab, and what they give us information about is oxidized LDL, along with the other three that I mentioned. And then they do myeloperoxidase and LPPLA2. And these are very specific because they are enzymes that tell us about inflammation and risk for rupture of the plaque that is lining the blood vessel. And you want to know if there's any immediate danger or not. And then we check for genetic traits like lipoprotein particle little a. And there are markers that talk about or tell us about inflammation and congestion in the liver like apolipoprotein B. So there's a lot of information which is more sophisticated than just the basic lipid panel. And then for Longevity Medical Clinic, Cleveland is customized because they tell us about the omegas. We call it the omega check. Omega-3s are anti-inflammatory, and omega-6s are pro-inflammatory. And most people here have a higher omega-6 ratio to omega-3 ratio, and it should be the opposite. So we look specifically to how much omega-3s you're carrying, what is EPA, DPA, and DHA, and then how are they related to your omega-6s. And those are very important numbers.
You know, what it comes down to is that the sort of cholesterol test you just reported to us was great 50 years ago, but it's inadequate today. Okay, it's out.
Okay, what I'll do is I will stick with plumbing and make an appointment with your office. How's that?
Sounds good. Yes, sir. Come on in, and we'll straighten this out for you.
That's a good plan, Tim. In fact, I'm going to give that number right now, okay? That number to call in to make that first appointment. Come in for your free health analysis. Find out what life is doing to you, what you are at risk for. We're going to do a couple of tests. Then we'll do the full lab work with you. You get time with the doctor, and you can find out what's happening. And then, better yet, find out what you can do about it and move forward. We want you to be what, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and, of course, happier.
Happier, absolutely.
Because the goal of all of that is to make you happier.
Absolutely. Here's that number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. Ron, we'll be back with you next, and Lorraine in just a moment as Leading Edge continues. Stay right there.
Well, I spent
on the much fun.
We are having fun.
Doctor.
Yeah. They told me I was blocking Jerry's camera with my hair.
Well, you heard me talking about fear gnomes, so you started fluffing your hair.
No. Heck no. I just walked in front of your camera. That's all.
Whoopsie. Yeah, well, it's our first week just practicing with the camera.
Man, so I wish I had enough hair to fluff. I'm actually jealous as
well. Well, you can grow your hair out.
My wife, who she's in China. She can't see me.
Uh-huh.
She's telling me, go get a haircut this afternoon. What can I tell you?
Oh, she's managing your care from there.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, you are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We have some calls to get to. We're going to head south to Tacoma. Lorraine is on the line. Hi, Lorraine.
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi. I'm 90, and I want to know how to... I don't know how to say this. Firm up my bowels. I have a bowel movement usually in the morning, and it comes out regular, and then it gushes out. And then maybe 10 minutes later, it'll gush out. And then I'm through for the day. What can I do about this?
Well... When did this start?
I want to say this. I just got off of antibiotics for a UTI for 5 days, and I had regular stools then. But now I'm back to the same old thing. And I've been reading on it. I cut my coffee down to one cup a day and a little bit of cream. I don't eat a lot of dairy. I was eating a lot of Greek yogurt and that. And I just don't know what to do.
Okay, but if I understand correctly, this just started after you had your antibiotics. Is that right?
No, it started way before my aunt. I've been messing around with this for over a year.
Okay, so that's a whole different question. When was your last colonoscopic exam?
I can hardly hear you. What is what?
When was the last time they did a bowel exam with a colonoscope?
Yeah, your colonoscopy. When was that scheduled last?
Okay, now I can hear you. It's been a long time.
Yeah. You know, in a woman your age that gets a significant change in bowel habit, somebody needs to take a look. So either they need to do your...
I did the test. Will you do it at home?
Oh, the stool test?
The stool test.
Oh, the Cologuard.
Cologuard?
Yeah, I did that about maybe 3 years ago.
Okay. But you've been having this problem for the last year, not 3 years.
So
you need to check it again. Okay. The advantage of the Cologuard is you can do it every year.
Yeah.
And if it comes up positive, then you need to have somebody to put a scope up there to see what's going on. Because a significant change in bowel habit in a 90-year-old woman worries me. I'm sorry.
What's that?
What was your question?
My question was, would your diet cause this problem?
Sure can.
It can.
But and a diet combined with the, so a change like antibiotics will certainly continue.
But the antibiotics was recent.
And the problem has been going on for a year.
The problem was way before the antibiotics.
Yeah.
So it's not triggered by the antibiotic.
And when I talked with my doctor about it, she said, well, possibly I was low in fiber, so I went on beta fiber.
Okay.
And, but that didn't help.
All right. Yeah. Fiber is a reasonable thought, but at your age, we worry about colon cancers. That's the big bugaboo.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we need to check for that.
Okay.
And as long as they're in there with a good scope, they can do cultures, they can do biopsies, they can do a whole lot of things at the same time that they're inspecting your colon to help us rule out any serious problems.
So I have an appointment in November. Would you recommend that I go to the, not do the thing at home, but go to the colonoscopy?
I would do the colonoscopy just because we've got a significant bowel change. The ColoGuard is a fine screening test just to be doing routinely.
Yeah.
But if you've got a symptom like this that makes us worry, you need to go for the gold standard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your help very much. Thank you.
All right. You get in and get it taken care of, young lady. I don't want bad stuff to happen to you.
Yeah.
Okay? I want you to be calling me 10 years from now in your 100 plus.
That's right. Okay, right. Thank you for that call, Lorraine. We are headed to Issaquah now. We have Ron on the line. Hi there, Ron. Good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Ron.
I have been fortunate to have been a patient of Dr. Umatz now for about 10 years. In fact, I had an appointment this past week, and I wanted to say something then, but then I thought sometimes it's nice to, or appropriate to be called front and center out of the formation. So I just wanted to call this morning to congratulate her on being named one of the top 50 women leaders in medicine for the second year in a row.
That's right. Yes. So exciting. Oh, Dr. Umatz. Thank you, Ron, for pointing
that
out.
That's so sweet of you. Thank you, Ron. Ron, thanks for the call. Ron has been a patient of mine for a very long time, as he mentioned, and I'm especially fond of him, have a very special bond with him. And during our recent visit, he found out that I had won the award for 50 best women in medicine. And so he congratulated me. Yeah, thank you, Ron. That is so sweet of you. I appreciate it.
Yes, we mentioned it right when that happened a few months ago, but we have, let's mention it again in case somebody missed it.
Now this is her second year in a row.
Love that. Oh,
that's right.
Two for two.
My team has challenged me for the third year, but I don't know.
Samira, Dr. Umatz. Oh, Ron, thank you
Ron.
For that.
Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Well, you are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to get ready to go to a break in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Mixon, why don't you talk about anything top of mind? Usually you have a little medical update for us. We have just a couple minutes before we go to break.
Top of mind, medicine is a total blank right now.
Okay.
My family's been in China for almost the last month. And I am so lonely and missing them. Just yesterday, we bought their return tickets.
Oh, nice.
They're coming home on the 21st of August.
Okay, so they are coming home. They're not
That's about all I can think of right now is my wife and daughter will be here in about 2.5 weeks.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And how about
That's
the Olympics?
Awesome.
Have you been watching? I mean, especially the fencing because, of course, your daughter.
Yeah, I watch the fencing and the gymnastics.
Okay.
Those are the two things that I always watch.
Well, track and field is starting, so we'll all be watching track and field.
I'm so big on track and field. But I've always been too big to run very fast.
Well, but then there's basketball. You can watch basketball.
I can run over you when you get in my way, but I can't outrun you. There's a difference. But no, fencing I watch because my daughter is a fierce little fencer, and I fenced Step A in college.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so as we now have our second generation of fencers.
Nice.
Except when I was fencing way back in the dark ages, girls did not fence epee. Because the epee is basically the 18th century dueling sword. It's a rigid triangular blade. It's not like the foil that flexes and bends easily.
Mm-hmm.
When you get hit, it leaves big bruises, even through your equipment. And so in our day, we thought, well, it's too rough a sport for girls.
Mm.
And of course, now girls fence it. They just put on a plastic breast protector so they don't get, don't damage their breasts from it. Although in 10 and 12 year olds, it's not that big a deal anyway. But it still leaves bruises on your shoulders and arms and neck. And so, the first time she went fencing, she said, "Dad, this really hurts."
Mm.
And I said, "Yes, sweetheart, it does." And that's your incentive to hit them instead of them hitting you.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Very good. How would you feel, Dr. Mixon, if you had a biological male competing against your daughter?
I'd want to go break his arm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been some of the controversy going on.
That phrase irritates me. There is no other kind of male. There is male, there is female. There are mentally ill men who think they're female, but thinking doesn't make it true. You know, this is not Peter Pan with Tinkerbell being sick, you know, where if everyone will smile and clap, you know, Tinkerbell will recover. No.
Yeah, that's okay? Not.
Your beliefs don't make it true. They do not alter biology.
All right.
There is male, there is female. When you say biological male, that's a redundancy.
Okay. Just seen a lot of the controversy going on with
I know. But, you know, these are politicians who don't understand biology.
There you go. Well, we're going to be back with more Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. You stay right there. And if you have a question for the doctors, give us a call. 206-421-5757. And Charlie, we'll talk with you next. Stay right there.
Just going to lose her respect for him.
Okay. Dr. Love showing up here.
That's right.
For Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, Lynette in the studio. I have Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat and your phone calls. Here's the number to call, 206-421-5757. And we are going to head over to Buckley. Charlie is on the line. Hi there, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi there. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for taking my call.
All right. You're welcome. And Charlie, you sound very far away. Are you on a speakerphone? Maybe you could get a little closer or take it off speakerphone.
Okay, just a second. Let me see.
Much better.
Oh, so much better. Thank you for that.
Okay. My question is for Dr. Mixon. When it comes to acetylcholine, I actually purchased some choline / inositol.
Inositol.
Inositol, yeah.
Inositol. It's 120 milligrams of choline and 250 milligrams of inositol. Mm-hmm. Now, you were saying that maybe the choline would help to produce acetylcholine. Is that true?
Yeah, but the studies that I was specifically referencing are using citicoline at 500 or 1,000 milligrams a day. So,
wow.
Okay. So citicoline as opposed to choline and inositol, two very different compounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Citicoline
is converted to acetylcholine very, very quickly and efficiently.
Really? So I got a question now. I took my wife to a neurologist, and she decided that she would put my wife on, it's called memantine.
Yes.
Yeah, memantine.
And twice a day. Now, she explained that it would help Not reverse anything, but actually help to retain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does. Okay.
Yeah, it does. Nimetidine has not been shown to actually reverse a cognitive decline or dementia. It slows the decline, and it'll sometimes stabilize thing for 3 to 6 months. But then the decline usually picks up again.
Really?
Yeah.
So, actually, she's also going to have MRI on her brain. Mm-hmm. Now, what the neurologist would look at, or the layman would look at, because I had one, because I had a stroke and clogged a carotid artery. I'm not sure. I mean, when it comes to evaluating that test, you know what I mean? I mean, for a layman, I mean, would you go,
okay, what about the white matter? What about this? What about that? I mean, I imagine the neurologist is going to say, hey, this is what it looks like, right?
Yeah. Yes, the neurologist is very good at interpreting these. And what he's basically looking for are a couple of things, okay? He's looking to see, are there lacunar densities there, things where she's had multiple mini strokes. This is a vascular disease in which people are having tiny, tiny, tiny strokes, each one of which is basically inconsequential, but they add up when you've had 50 or 100 or more. Brain function is impaired. The other thing you're concerned about is this a prefrontal dementia in which you're actually getting areas of the brain that are shrinking? Or is the amygdala shrinking? The amygdala is the area that is processing memory, short-term to long-term memory. And that tends to shrink with Alzheimer's. You see tau tangles that in Alzheimer's disease. So an MRI, especially an enhanced MRI, will give you a lot of answers about exactly what sort of pathology is going on in your wife's brain. And then that can give the doctor clues as to what can we help, what can we not help.
I gotcha. Now, when you said long-term and short-term, whereas it, my wife has no problem with long-term memory. I mean, she can sing songs from the late 1800s all the way up to the present.
I know. And what worries me is I also can do that. No, the problem with Alzheimer's disease is that you lose short-term memory. You can tell, people with Alzheimer's disease can tell you in great detail what they did 35 years ago, you know, on July 4th holiday. But what they had for breakfast this morning has gone completely. So that short-term processing into long-term is one of the first things they lose.
I see. Well, you answered all my questions. We're going to see, well, you know, with more tests and new appointment. And I thank you guys very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Thank you.
Goodbye. You know, interesting, the citicoline.
Yeah.
That we're looking at used to be a prescription drug.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was one of the earliest drugs we used for Alzheimer's disease way back when.
Mm.
But it's been found to be so safe that it's now an over-the-counter supplement.
Yeah.
As opposed to a prescription drug.
Right. We do carry it in the office.
We do.
And then with dementia, too, you know, there's been so much talk recently, and there's a new blood test that can be done to detect early dementia.
Yes.
And so he might want to ask his doctor if they can run that test for his wife. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the implications thereafter in terms of taking care of her medications and making sure she's safe.
Yep.
So a lot more coming out in this field.
Yes. This is a disease is probably right at the very top of the list of things I don't want.
Hmm.
You know, the problem with Alzheimer's disease is it kills you twice.
Yeah.
First, your personality, who you are, goes away.
Yeah.
Then the body dies years later.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, dying once is enough.
Mm.
I don't want to have to go through it twice.
Sure.
So. Yeah. Well, all I can do is shift the odds in my favor as long as I can and keep on playing the game.
Yeah, I had a family come to see us recently, and they did join the program. The lady was diagnosed with early onset dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that, and they said, you know, they recognize that this is progressive. They recognize that there is no treatment. They recognize that the regular neurologist is just giving them medications that will not treat it. And they asked if there was something that we could help with that would slow the progression, maybe give her a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they asked for, just a little bit more slower of the progression. Mm-hmm.
And we did their initial labs. I promised them nothing. I said, let's just take a look at initial labs. She's young. She's only in her 50s. And sure enough, there was a declination of her hormones. Her estrogen was low. Testosterone, progesterone were low. She had low DHEA. She had thyroid was not ideal. Cholesterol was a little high. Inflammation markers were high. And so I told them that, as you know, there's nothing I can promise, but at least what we can do is replace the hormones, control her inflammation markers, optimize her thyroid level, help her with the cholesterol panel, take a look at the broader picture. And within 3 months, the first report was that she's much better. Mm-hmm. She's taking care of herself. Her husband supervises everything, but she takes her supplements and she walks regularly, is exercising regularly, and her outlook is a little bit better, which is all they had asked for. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit improvement.
And we can give that. We can't cure the disease.
Correct.
But if we optimize the hormone levels in the brain, we get some improvement for a while.
Yeah. So I was very happy that they chose to enroll her in the program. And I've thought about it long and hard, but she had good supportive family that would help supplement and supervise that she was applying the creams. Her husband is doing that for her. And she's now able to do that herself as well. So
Wonderful. That
was so far been a very good story.
Yes. Oh, wow. We're talking about what you are concerned about, your health. The aging process, a diagnosis for you or a loved one, maybe even some symptoms. Give us a call. Phone lines are open and ready for you at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with Marty next on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
You're going to be able to call me out when I step out of line now. On radio, nobody would say anything.
No, and nobody could see you.
On radio.
But now we are in a room filled with cameras.
Yeah.
And we will be, so I'm practicing on all of them.
Yeah, there are times when I've had to walk out of the room.
That's right. Now you're in a room with five cameras.
That's right.
I know,
so
watching
be careful
me
as you
all
walk.
The time. Lynette,
right.
You're my best friend.
There you go, and you look lovely today on camera, so... Leading Edge Medicine, here is the number to call to get through with your questions for the doctors, 206-421-5757, and we have room for you and for your calls, your concerns, if it's for you or a loved one, please give us a call. That number is 206-421-5757. Headed to Arizona, and I bet it's a little hotter there than it is here.
I bet it is, too.
Marty, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hi there. What can we do for you?
Well, I suffer from incontinence, and I noticed an ad for O shots, and I was wondering if what Dr. Mixon's opinion was of those, or if he has some other help for incontinence.
Well, it is more of Dr. Umatz.
Okay, that's good too. I'm happy with either one.
Well, I personally have never recommended the O-Shot for incontinence to completely different areas and treatments, unless there's something new there that I don't know about.
Well, I mean, basically what you're doing is you're putting in, you know, something to swell up that area at the top of the vagina, right below where the sphincter would be from the bladder.
But
as a little extra pressure.
But the O shot doesn't last that long.
No, it doesn't.
And even if it were to give temporary relief, I guess, but never used it for that purpose. How are you going to manage what the O shot is being used for then?
Yeah, because I mean the O shot is the O stands for orgasm. You know. It was being used to increase pressure on that G spot up.
It still is, and some people get very good results with it.
Yes. And so, you know, you stimulate those nerves where the male version of the, where the male prostate would be. The female have a nidus with a lot of nerve function there that can enhance, you know, orgasmic response.
Right.
But, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, physiologically, you are also very close to the external sphincter for the bladder. And so I could see that that would decrease urinary incontinence just because you've put a little extra pressure holding the sphincter closed. But I wouldn't expect it to last very long.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you have some other suggestions?
Well, shall I read the patient letter that I did for the first show?
Well, you can. Absolutely. Maybe maybe it'll apply a little bit.
I can
here.
Listen to it. I missed.
But also, maybe we need to get a little bit more information from you about how significant the stress incontinence is.
Well,
are you dribbling? Is it stress? Are you dribbling all the time?
Is it stress incontinence?
Is it prolapse? Was it overactive bladder? What is it?
When are you leaking? And under what conditions?
Many different conditions, let's put it that way. I think it's an overactive bladder also because
okay.
I pee many, probably 25 or 30 times a day.
Okay.
All right.
I haven't counted, but before I even, you know, before I practically start my day, it's 4 or 5 or 6.
But you have the urge to urinate. It's not leaking out without you knowing it.
It's also doing that. Yeah, it's sometimes it is. And if I'm up and if I've been sitting for an hour and a half and then get up, I can barely make it to the bathroom. And if it's very far, I don't.
Okay. Mm. So, yeah.
It's lots of things.
Yes. But this does sound more like an overactive bladder than it is urinary incontinence or stress incontinence.
It could be a combination too, Jerry.
Yeah. What can I tell you? Female plumbing is... You know, by the time you've had a couple of children and you're hitting 50, 60 years old, you got a lot of issues.
I'm 81.
Okay. So, you know, there is a injection that can be done with Botox. To decrease that overactive bladder, that urinary incontinence, okay? Break that spasm so that the bladder relaxes. And if that works, it should give you about 3 months of relief.
Okay.
And then you'd have to have another injection. So it's not a cure, but it's a management strategy.
Yeah, well, that's what I would be after, I think. I don't think there's a cure for me.
Not that I'm aware of. But, you know, again, this is outside of my typical treatment range and longevity.
Have you heard of EMSLA, which is the magnetic plate, I think, that you sit on? Have you had any experience with that?
No, I have not. Not at all. Again, you know, our specialty is the aging process. You know, what's going on as we get older and how do we minimize the risks and the problems and maximize the benefits you get? So, you know, we don't do a whole lot with urinary incontinence.
Have you seen your OBGYN or
your urologist?
Well, not recently. She left, and Arizona is very difficult to get a doctor. Let's put it that way. But I do have a primary care now since we moved here, and I think I can ask her to see a urologist.
I hate
to go face it again.
There's a specialist called urogynecology. They have them here at Overlake Hospital, and I have some of my patients go to a urogynecologist here. Mm-hmm. A completely different area where they do look at the difference between overactive bladder, stress incontinence, and prolapse.
Yep.
And they do urodynamic studies. They look at, you know, how much residual is left in the bladder after you pee and what's happening with the muscles, the detrusor muscle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that grade of investigation is what I think you really need to sort what is the problem.
And you're given references for local. She's in Arizona.
I know. That's why I said here at Overlake.
Yeah. But I did go, I had a hysterectomy about 10 years ago from a urogynecologist at the University of Washington. So, yeah, that's a good thought. I can look one. I can ask my primary if she'll send me to one or try to get to one. I have good insurance.
Probably knows all the subspecialists in their area.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
That's your best.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll call or send her a text or something. So, okay. Well, that helps me from going down an avenue that I just would have been spending money for and probably gotten very little help. Yep. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
so.
I love this idea because this allows you to make the diagnosis first. And one of my aphorisms is, you know, first diagnosis, then therapy. If you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are poor.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Well, and there's another one I think my sister had where she had an implant to help her with the control. Have you heard about those?
No.
Can't remember what that
was
called.
This is not in our area of expertise, young lady.
Yeah, at all. Well, old ladies get this.
Wow, to tell everyone I got implants. Really? Well, in my bladder.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. No, thank you. I listen to you whenever I can, so I appreciate your help.
Marty, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for listening, and thanks for calling, and good luck.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
Problem.
Oh. It is, and it's a common problem with women.
And maybe we can talk a little bit more about this on the other end of the break. And we invite your phone calls. Phone lines are wide open, 206-421-5757. We'll be back with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. I'm Lynette. Stay right there. Hour number two on the way.